Hello everyone, welcome to another Widnes Rugby Chat. We're on episode 6, a bit of an impromptu episode this one after the events of this week. I've managed to drag Ian back for another filming. I know we said we wanted you back, but I didn't expect you to be back this soon, Ian.
Absolutely, James, and neither did I. I think it was going to be coming back in the space of a couple of days, but
Absolutely, mad week.
What do you want to do? So where should we start, I suppose? Should we go in chronological order, and we'll start with Anthony Gellin?
Yeah.
So, I think it was Tuesday, was it Tuesday or Monday this week, where... It was Tuesday, wasn't it? Well, it started on Monday, because obviously it came out on Monday that Catalan had registered, or attempted to register Anthony Gellin with the French Federation.
Yeah.
Which sort of started the ball rolling on the rumour mill, and then on the Tuesday, I think a reputable French journalist said that he'd seen Gellin training with Catalan, and then I think in the afternoon we got the statement from Widnes, and within around, well, I think did Gellin tweet first he was going to do a Q&A?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah. I don't know what Widnes Conf people will be thinking about that, but it's a bit of an odd goal, really, but in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, so Gellin did his Q&A and then the statement came out where basically Widnes was saying they're aware of the reports that he's with Catalan or training with Catalan or whatever, but that he's still contracted to Widnes and they're still expecting him to report to pre-season training. What was your take on all of that?
Well, I think we can sum it up very succinctly to say it was all a bit of a mess, to be honest with you. I don't think it's done either of the parties, and I'll probably say... let's roll in Catalans in this as well, because you know their hands are looking a little bit dirty as well. You know, Bruno Onsantiense from the Independent. You know, he as you say, he's a very reputable journalist, and he wouldn't be getting his facts wrong on stuff like this. So something, is it untoward? Am I right in saying untoward? But something a little bit iffy, if I can put it in Widnesian terms, has certainly happened. Mm. Then Gellin goes and does this Q&A on Twitter. You know, gets fans excited, and then he kind of deflates others, you know, but it's all up in the air. No one knows exactly what's going on, and I'm sure the lad was saying about he's got visa issues with his family. That may be the case, but...
It's not the right forum to...
Well, it's not.
But I mean, you know, I think ultimately he said that I think somebody asked him, does he see himself playing for Widnes in 2019, and he said no. I mean, he was quite firm with that. I think the whole situation surrounding Gellin has probably been badly managed, you know, by... Yeah. I mean, I guess I have a bit more sympathy with the club now than maybe I did this time last week, only because, ultimately, the fact of the matter is, Widnes have signed Gellin.
Yeah.
None of us really know what the contract states.
Yeah.
None of us really trust, to a degree, what James Rule says sometimes, because there has been issues in the past where he said things and perhaps the opposite's being true.
Yeah.
As far as he was concerned, Gellin was going to come and play in the Championship, and you would imagine that if the contract hadn't been to play in the Championship, the Widnes probably would have come out and said that was the case, such as being the length of time, you know, between the end of the season and now. But the whole family thing, so it would appear that Gellin would come over. Well, I mean, obviously, again, it's a thing of how much do we trust Gellin, but Gellin's effectively implying that he would have come over in Championship if his family could have got a visa. But then at the same time, I'm sort of thinking, well, what about when he signed? You know, when he signed in July, was he not aware then that the family had struggled to get a visa? Is that not a due diligence that should be done before you sign?
Definitely no, and let's be quite kind of frank on this. You know, Gellin was coming all the way back in June to a Championship club, and he should have had his own house in order. Maybe Widnes should have done the spot checks a little bit deeper. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but you know, wrapping it up, you know, quite quickly, James. He's not going to be in Widnes clubs next year, and it's debatable, highly unlikely that he's ever going to play for Widnes again. In my opinion, because he's going to sign for someone. Probably Catalans. It's likely to be Catalans. You can get visas a little bit more easy there. There's a few more loopholes, I'm told, that you can get people in and out there. And that Catalan team, you know, is going to be Better because they're getting a very, very capable player. We all know that. He was a good lad at Wigan. Very strong running winger or centre. And it's just a bit of hard cheese on witness that he's not going to be playing in Championship. But, you know, it kind of sums up the kind of the anarchy and situation going on at Widnes, really, because no one knows what's going on, really.
Yeah, is it? I mean, I suppose it's very convenient for Gelling that Catalan are there, I suppose, in many ways, because, you know, in theory, you wouldn't be able to sign for any other Super League club for the same reason that he can't play for Widnes, basically, and he's just landed on his feet a little bit there. Yeah. That Catalan are there and obviously interested in signing him.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and Steve McNamara's a very astute coach. He's been around the block a long time, and he would have been advised, I'm sure, to say, if it is Gelling and he can get him over, evidently he's been training, like we already discussed, and he'll probably end up there, to be honest with you. And, you know, that's a decent three-quarter signing for them.
Mm. Before we move on to two other things, where do you stand on the whole family thing? You know, like, you know, we're aware of players who are playing over here and the families are in Australia and whatever. Is it a valid excuse, you know, in the modern day and age for a professional sportsman? You know, so everyone can make their own choice, and if that's the choice he's going to make, then fine. But if that's stopping you from fulfilling the contract you've signed, should there be a little bit more of a compromise? I don't know.
For me, you know, he would have been on a very handsome contract and sold a witness. You know, some big figures we're talking here if he would have been coming over. And it goes with the territory, you know. For me, you know, if you put your name to the contract, which he has, he should technically be over here. I don't think the visa issue with him personally.
Mm.
So, in all honesty, you know, witness fans might be feel a little bit aggrieved that he's not coming over because, you know, Widnes hadn't signed his family, and all that sounds really harsh, but that's the top and bottom of it. He put his name to the contract, he should be over it. You know, so it's a sorry situation, really, for Widnes, but I think Kieran Birtle just got to look elsewhere. And if there's £100,000 to play with, and those are the figures which I believe are being bandied around, then, you know, you could get quite a lot for that in the Championship, couldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it puts Widnes in a difficult position, because what you do, I mean, you've got a, you know, presumably you've got a piece of paper here that says, right, you know, we've got a contract with you, but then at the same time, you've got your own budgets, your own salary cap. Widnes could play hardball and say, well, we're not releasing you.
Yeah.
You know, but then what's the end goal to that situation? And then, but then at the same time, they could say, well, do we want a fee? But then how long will that take? And obviously, you know, if we don't feel like Gelling's coming now, they're going to have to replace him somehow.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, the longer this sort of saga drags on, the longer it's going to take for them to come to a solution there.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, seek a replacement, because as we know, Widnes probably needed a number three and a number four in their side. So it's not just one centre we're looking at, it's probably two. And I think I noticed Christian Inu actually coming out on social media saying, you know, isn't he going to stay, and he'll let people know. Well, you know, thanks very much for letting us know, but, you know, I'd like to think the business should be done a little bit earlier from Widnes.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly within him now, you know, we're what, two months out at the end of the season, and you're sort of thinking, well, it's either a yes or a no by now, surely.
It is.
You know what I mean? Even if the club have offered him less than what he wants and he's not accepting it, well, let's say, right, well, it's off the table, we're going to go somewhere else. We might touch upon players in a bit, because obviously Lee are announcing a shed load of players today. You know, Stephen Marsh was one of them as well. So we may be touch on that after we've got through everything else. So then Wednesday, I think it came out that James Rule was he's resigning effectively as chief executive. Yeah. There wasn't a definitive date on that. It seemed to imply he'd be gone by the start of the season after some sort of handover process. What do you make of that move?
Geez, you know, it was quite shock news, wasn't it, really? Because even though I thought that would have been the right decision probably at the end of last season, I never thought it would be so forthcoming. So something's obviously happened behind the scenes. But that's conversation between James, Steve O'Connor and the other directors. Steve O'Connor, chairman now, I should say, which is something else which I'm sure you want to discuss. But the whole thing did come as a slight bit of a shock. But I think for some Widnes fans, they kind of got what they'd wished for. You know, we all know Widnes was in that situation coming into the season where fans weren't happy you know, we spoke last week about fan engagement being so low and that disconnect. A lot of people didn't like the way James operated, kind of rubbed people the wrong way. You know, we can probably go back to when James got shut up all Hansbury. You know, there was a big you know, Ferrari extravaganza, call it what you want about that kind of dismissal. You know, having Paul been there as a mascot, you know, a lot of people kind of saw that as a very, you know, ruthless act, and I know rugby league's a business, and it is a business, but you know, perhaps there was a little bit of room for sentiment there as well, and you know, that guy did a good job in my opinion. I don't know the ins and outs of what went on there, but and I wouldn't want to comment on specific cases, but ultimately, you know, James is kind of is left, or he's leaving the building, and it could well be that the O'Connors follow him too.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with James Rule, and you know, obviously I'd love at one point to maybe get him on and speak to him, because I feel like he got to a point where I, and I think I said this last week, where I thought there was no way back for him. I think he got to a point where there was that much fan sort of aggro against him that there was no way back. There was no way he was ever going to claw it back. No. Now, obviously, you can look at how it's got to that point, and I think there are some things that maybe he gets blamed for that aren't his fault, but then I think he's not helped himself in some of the things that he's come out with and done. And like, you know, you give that example where, you know, that, I mean, I didn't know Paul Hansbury, and you know, some people might say that as well, you know, why are you talking about that? But I think it's fine to do things like that when you're in a big business and a big city club, but when you're a small community club like Widnes are, it's very difficult. But I just think even little things like, obviously, the way that fans and sponsors are being alienated, and you know, I understand that there's obviously been budget restrictions and stuff that have probably held James Rule back, and he's probably ended up taking a bit of flack for other people, but I still think that the way it's all being handled could have been a lot better. I suppose one of the main questions is sort of why now. You know, it's 2 months after we got relegated. It's, you know, last year survived relegation. You know, we're in the lower league now, and it's like, what has triggered it to happen now rather than 2 months ago or even 12 months ago?
Well, I think it's a case of this is the straw what brought the camel back. I think in regards to James Rule, and you know, let's face it. You know, the fans did give him a real hard time. You know, for them to be kind of rolling banners out and having social media campaigns to say, let's get James Rule out and Rule out, hashtag all this type of stuff, you know, that's going to kind of take its own effect on a person, and maybe there's a little bit of that as well, because, you know, no one wants to be criticised.
Yeah.
No one wants to be kind of, you know, judged a failure, but when you look at it, the past 2 years, that Widnes has been a complete write-off, in my opinion, and I've got to say, a failure. When look at 2014, where this were on the, you know, the real edge of something big, but from then on, it's kind of spiralled out of control. And I mentioned the word like sleepwalking into relegation.
Yeah.
You know, James is an efficient operator. Mm. He's been around some big clubs. He would have known what has been coming.
It's worth noting as well that the whole real, you know, and I'm aware that there's fans, and you know, I'd be happy to have them on here to speak to them. There's a few fans who are very defensive of, you know, certainly the protest side of the Rule out, and you know, some people feel like he's almost been hounded out of the club, a bit like Dennis Betts was. But I think it's worth noting that, you know, something like Rule out or that sort of thing, it doesn't just happen overnight. It's obviously been brewing several, you know. There's loads of examples we can reel off, the Wigan home game fiasco, the Kevin Brown saga, and it's like, it's almost like the lack of, I don't know if it's a lack of transparency, whether it's a lack of connect with the fans or whatever, but it's not a case of, you know, all the fans that are maybe pushing or were pushing the Rule out stuff, as much as some other fans may see them as like, a bit of a lynch mob, it's like, it's been built up over such a long period of time.
Yeah, I just think, you know, Widnes people like straight talking, and they don't like BS, which is what a lot of people have claimed against James. And you know, some of the rallying call stuff was getting a little bit too much. Some of the stuff in the local press saying, you know, you can come and get behind the side. You know, I get all that, I understand it all, but you know. Issuing the rallying call every week turned out to be a bit of a stick beating process, in my opinion.
Yeah, because it was almost like the fans were being blamed, wasn't it?
And it's not fair.
We'll maybe move on to the O'Connor thing now, but I think I was always a bit bugged by the fact that it was like, oh, we can't sign players until we have male members, because you're almost like preaching to the converted, really, because I'm a bit like, well, the existing fans are not happy because you're not investing, but then you're basically saying to them, well, we can't sign anyone until somebody else joins. But then what's the motivation for somebody else to join? Because if I, as one person, come along and join, that's not going to make any difference in terms of signing. So that sort of leads in. So then the following day, we've then got the statement from Steve O'Connor, basically saying that they'd be happy, and obviously this is off the back of the Luke Backhouse interview, I guess, that the board of directors would be interested in gifting their shares to the right person or company or whatever.
Yeah, it's a real strange one, isn't it? Because they have Steve O'Connor, a real shrewd businessman who's made millions from a local transport company, sold out to Stobart, dumbbell for himself. You know, been a real kind of flag bearer for Widnes as a town. So when he came in, we were all like, yeah, this is the right man for the job. Is he the right man for the job now? You know, the fans will kind of vote with the feet on that one, in my opinion. Mm. But with Steve Cook, you know, he steps aside. He's let James Real do all the kind of the figurehead stuff, the mouthpiece of the business, if you like, and to suddenly come back into the picture. It's been a really interesting one to kind of keep an eye on. And I don't think we've seen the last of it here. There's got to be more communications coming out from the club. I think Steve realises that. He's got to claw it back a little bit and get fans on side. Because at the moment, you know, with James Real still involved, there's still that disconnect. And, you know, I think Steve needs to come and do a little bit of, you know, media interviews, whatever it may be, because, you know, at the moment, it's not really clear what the direction the club's going in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit on the fence in terms of the whole O'Connor, Backhouse, whatever thing, because I think, when Real resigned, I was thinking, oh, well, if Steve O'Connor's done that, then maybe, you know, he's going to start looking at it again and figuring out what the club needs to do moving forward. I think the thing for me is, it would be great if someone waltzed along with loads of money, I don't think that's necessarily going to help Widnes. I know that sounds daft and everyone will be like, well, hang on, we'll be able to sign players with money. But I think if you look at what Steve O'Connor's done, he came in and said, well, we need X number of fans, and obviously that's not happened. And now, while they'll blame the fans for that, I certainly think I'd ask the question, well, what have you done to get those fans? Because, you know, I know the argument is, well, you know, I know Steve's argument might be, well, I was told that if we got into Super League, the fans would come. We got into Super League, and then the fans said, well, we need to have a competitive team. We got a competitive team, and then they still didn't come.
Yeah.
You know, we finished in the playoffs a couple of times, didn't come. You know, they had Kevin Brown, whatever. So he's almost got to a point where it's like, well, I've done these things, and, you know.
That's a fair argument, by the way.
Yeah, which is a fair argument. But then, like I say, my only real query to that is, well, what has the club done for that? And I just wonder now whether... Because I don't think that, you know, if you look at Steve O'Connor, I don't think that we should be expecting a person or several people to be pumping in loads of money all the time. Yeah. Ultimately, you've got to, and in fairness, that is one of the things that you could perhaps credit the current regime for doing, is as while as, you know, we're all complaining that not spending money, at least the club isn't as, you know, it's not in a terrible position debt-wise or whatever.
It's not, but, you know, let's not forget, where you're finishing the table is proportionate to your spend.
And
Widnes haven't spent anywhere near the salary cap in Super League. So the past couple of years, it almost seems like Steve's been a little bit disinterested.
Mm.
That might sound harsh, but I think that's the truth.
And I suppose that's the other question as well, is that there's no real reason why you shouldn't be spending the salary cap in Super League, because you get the entire salary cap in Sky funding anyway. So... I think, I mean, just touching back on James Rule, I think the worst thing probably James Rule did was actually take chairs, because effectively he's, you know, if he was just the CEO, he could have basically leant on the fact, well, the board aren't invested,
so
I'm a bit hampered. Whereas because he was part of the board, people are thinking, well, hang on, he's earning X amount of money, you know, as chief executive, but then at the same time not putting any money in as a board member. And so I think that probably... I think that probably heightened the amount of animosity he got. And also, I think the other thing with Steve O'Connor is it's not like he's not sat there taking money out. You know, according to the account, Steve O'Connor still owed, you know, £300,000 in director's loan. Yeah. But he isn't sat there taking X amount of pounds out in a salary every month.
Yeah, of course.
So that was sort of a bit like why I was thinking, well, if Steve O'Connor could steady the ship a little bit, you know, maybe get somebody else in who can maybe freshen things up, I thought that might be the most obvious solution, but it would appear that maybe they're now fishing out to maybe a track loop back house or somebody else.
Yeah, well, someone's got to take over this kind of over the mantle and the direction of the club. You know, I've yet to see some real clear statements from Steve to say it's going to be him. You know, probably statements to the contrary, actually. So whether we see Luke Backhouse or a other figure come in, and I'm sure there'll be other interested parties, because witnesses. It's a good brand. You know, it's a good club.
You've got facilities, obviously.
Facilities are all there. You know, Aldborough Council. I've got the stadium, which is probably going to be deemed as some kind of drawback for any potential investor, because you want your own assets, you want your own kind of commercial activity, you want your own bums on seats, sales from the beer and the food and all that type of thing coming into the club and not going to a third party. Aldborough Council have been great for the town and the rugby league club, but you know, is that a relationship which is A1 at the moment? It's probably not.
We talked about that thing, didn't we? Where that's one of the. I think I said my point was that there's two things that need to happen, really. The fans now need to get behind the team again, and two, something's got to happen to improve this relationship with the council, because clearly there's a breakdown there between
I think it needs to be said. You know, people who witness, i.e. you and I, own part of that stadium, because our council tax pays for it. So it's a taxpayer stadium. It belongs to the people of Widnes and Runcorn.
And ultimately, if Widnes Rugby owe the council money, they're effectively taken out of the purse of the people. If you like,
absolutely. You know, it's something which does need to be addressed. But let's not forget, you know, it is a really good stadium. You know, is it all singing, all dancing, Super League outfit like we see at Leeds? Probably not, but. When we get back there, who's to say can't do the big rugby league extravaganzas, if we can get my words out, and all the international fixtures what we used to have in the past?
Yeah. I mean, so obviously the situation now, and you know, presumably, you know, I've spoken to a few people sort of the last couple of days, and I believe that there's expectations that more stuff's going to happen, but the issue appears to be, certainly from speaking to Luke Backhouse, and also reading his tweets, is obviously this director's loan, the liabilities, if you like, of the club, which include a significant director's loan to Steve O'Connor. Now, obviously that's as per the latest accounts that we can see, so in theory, that could have reduced, you know, in this period of time.
Yeah.
Is it worth Luke Backhouse or anybody else coming in and paying £350,000 just to take over Widnes? Because as much as it's the name, the heritage, the license, whatever you
want to call it. Well, for me, the answer to the question would be yes, because someone has got to do it. We believe Luke has got deep pockets and he's willing to kind of to put in. And if he's willing to do that, then let's see it. Let's see the proposal. Let's see the figures. I'm sure he'll be kind of number crunching with his accountants and putting a proposal together. For Steve O'Connor, because something needs to happen. We can't be in a situation where the club becomes kind of rudderless, i.e. James moving on and, you know, before the season, and we're in that state of limbo. I don't think that's fair to the club. I don't think it's fair to stakeholders. It's not certainly not fair to the fans who are buying strongholds and trying to, you know, put their money into Widnes. So we need someone to say, yeah, this is my money, and I'm putting it. But this is what I'm putting into the club, and this is my objective, and this is where I'm going to get you. These are the intentions.
And there's obviously a lot of speculation all the time about various things, whether it be the Kevin Brown transfer fee, you know, whether it be certain people's salaries. And while I don't expect complete transparency, has this regime almost become a victim of their lack of reasonable transparency in terms of, well, you know, you didn't tell us how much you got for Kevin Brown, and you didn't really tell us where it's gone. We get sort of loose quotes and comments from James Rule in statements or in press which refer to it, but they never really, it's never quite black and white, and that's almost like come back to haunt them a little bit, because then it's meant that the whole rumour mill or speculation or the anger towards it just gets bigger and bigger.
I absolutely agree. You know, there's been far too much grey in James Rule's tenure at the top. You know, at first, I'm sure fans of it were really excited that Steve brought James in. But it's turned out...
I'm not sure about that.
Well, you know, it's...
He's still banned from rugby league when witness took
him. Yeah, you know, there is that point. And I'm sure people in Hull have got another opinion, by the way. And anyone who's read Judas...
Paul
Cook's book, written by Adrian Dunham and TalkSport, then they will get a view of what James is about, allegedly. Mm-hmm. But having said that, you know, it wasn't all bad from James.
There was some
good bits, but there's probably too many bad bits which kind of outweigh the good
and I think to be fair, some of the and I guess the point I'm trying to make is, I guess some of the bad bits have almost been escalated because of the lack of transparency around them in many ways. You know, if he could have, like, the whole Gelling situation could have been shut down weeks and weeks ago.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, as an example. One interesting sort of other point to throw into the mix was is how the club has been affected by the change from the licensing to promotion relegation. Because, of course, when Steve O'Connor became involved, his first year was the last year that was promotion relegation. And then it was 2008, was it? Oh, yes, there was no promotion relegation that year. It was licensing. So every year since O'Connor took over...
Yeah.
It's all been based on license up until 2014,
and
then since then it's changed.
Yeah.
Does that coincide with the lack of interest, or rather the drop in interest from Steve O'Connor, perhaps?
I think that's got something to do with it. But you know, I'd like to think there's a proper strategy behind all this. So we knew that the system was going to change from licensing to what it is prior to 2018.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, that doesn't wash. You know, they've got to
react to it.
Yeah, you've got to react to it.
As much as it's changing where the goalposts are, ultimately it's the same for everyone else.
Definitely. You know, it's again, you know, I think it just goes back to that kind of lack of transparency. Mm. You know, the too many grey areas. Mm. Not so much the right communication, in my opinion. You know, we've done some great stuff in the community. Mm. But which is fantastic, and I really approve of it. But what does that mean actually on the pitch? What does that mean on our gate? Are we getting more people through the doors? Are we getting a better squad because of it? Because ultimately, we paid because we had the worst squad over the past 2 years, and that's through lack of investment, you know, and lack of idea, really. And just before you go on there, I think one person will be able to tell us all this. And it's not been mentioned yet, is Dennis Betts. I believe Dennis has promised John Lawless from Liverpool Echo an interview at some point where he's going to hopefully lift the lid on some of this stuff, because, you know, Dennis has got a little bit of, you know, of muck on his hands, you know, because, but on the other side of the coin is, Dennis was only given the tools to do the job, what he was given, you know. So he was up against it.
I certainly think Dennis Betts' reputation has been affected by...
It's tarnished by it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, and there's still Widnes fans who don't rate him as a coach, and that might be a fair assumption, but I think that Dennis Betts is a far better coach than what Widnes fans give him credit for. And I think he's probably been fighting in this sort of context or whatever you want to call it around him. So it would, you know, it'd be really interesting to see.
Absolutely, you know, that will be a scoop for whoever.
Maybe Dennis can come in here and sit on the sofa
with
us and speak to him. A couple of other things that have sort of cropped up this week, and they sort of tie into the licensing, they sort of tie into transparency. Danny Walker and Matt Whitley, two players that have come through Widnes Academy and left this year. Now, according to, you know, the RFL operational rules, etc., etc., Widnes should receive compensation for both of these players because they offered them equivalent deals.
Yeah.
There's an implication that, you know, on Twitter, and you know, I've spoken to people at, you know, I've spoken to people at Catalan, and, you know, I've been given a figure by contacts at Warrington as to how much they've had to pay for Danny Walker. Catalan have been a little bit more cagey around that sort of thing. If you go right by the book, if you go through the RFL operational rules and you try and work it out, I would expect anywhere in the region of 100,000 combined for them two players. Yeah. The implication is that there's nowhere near that amount gone in. But again, is the fact that we're having to answer these questions and wonder these questions another example of the transparency? Because again, you know, you look at the central funding, the parachute payment, we're told constantly that there's no money. But then at the same time, no one can really see where any money's going.
Well, you know, maths is my strong point, but, you know, look at what we got last year. Apparently, we've got this £500,000 parachute payment from the RFL, which James voted for, so thank you very much, James, for that.
Yeah.
But then we've got £700,000, so that's 1.2 million. Mm. That's your, you know, 150k. Mm. That's a nice little figure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously, we don't expect the club to necessarily come out and give us everything, but I think they probably harm themselves by being a bit, like you say, a bit cloak and dagger with it, because they could come out and say, right, look, this is how much money we've got. And obviously, there's a bit of competitive advantage against other clubs. But I mean, I don't think the other clubs are presumably aware of what everyone gets in central funding anyway. So yeah. I don't see how it's a huge thing. I think I worked out before that since the Catalan game at the end of 2017 that Widnes won to survive, Widnes have released 24 players and signed 8.
That is an unbelievable stat,
do you know what I mean? And you're like, you think it, and as much as I understand, yeah, we've got you've got academy players and stuff coming into the team. Well, the majority, there's not many of them academy players that weren't there in 2017.
Yeah.
And okay, yeah, they'll be earning more money. But something somewhere doesn't add up, because you're looking at, well, 24 players have been released. And when we say 24, these aren't just run-of-the-mill players you're looking at. Chris Bridge, you're looking at Corey Thompson, you're looking at Reece Ambry, you're looking at Joe Miller, you're looking at players who were probably in Widnes's, but more to the point, in Widnes's big earn.
Yes, yeah.
And you're thinking, well, okay, yeah, the Sky money's drop, we get that.
Yeah.
But what's happening?
I know it's one which is, you know, left me really scratching my head, because These are big numbers. We know the likes of, you know, Reece, Atal were on big figures at Widnes. You know, I think Reece ended up the top earner. Mm. So that's a significant salary which has gone into the black hole. You know, and this is the thing. People are suspicious now, I'm afraid to say, because of what happened with Kevin's money.
Yeah.
So Widnes sold Kevin to Warrington, and we got major money for that. Mm. What happened to the money, and this will be forever linked to kind of change his tenure at the club, because he never ever give us a straight answer about that.
Yeah, and I mean the other thing, and I understand that obviously there's difficulties, and there's a lot of things that we as outsiders aren't aware of in terms of your running costs. You know, I know James Rules mentioned insurance and stuff like that, which we completely get, but every other rugby league club has got
the pitch.
Well, yeah. I mean, every rugby league club has got to contend with these exact same issues.
Yeah.
And how are we getting to the point where Widnes seems so far behind, if you like, everyone else in terms of a financial or competitive point, if you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, it's, you know, again, I don't run my own business, but I think it just comes down to that. But Widnes have got very, very capable people there, or so we're told. You know, we've got a guy there now who's back involved, hopefully Steve O'Connor, who's running a multi-million pound business. So I'd like to think that Steve knows exactly what he's going to do with the club next.
Yeah. I think, and you know, I guess everyone, the worry now is how is this going to impact on the team, you know, and on Kieran Pirtle in particular. You know, you don't want this to be dragging on and on and on, because ultimately, the season's what, 2 months away, and it's, you know, it's quite important.
Absolutely,
I mean the rugby's the whole reason we're here. The whole reason we're sat here debating it was because of the rugby. You know, we don't care about any of the other stuff at the bottom end.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But you know, at Widnes at the moment, it just seems to me that the rugby's playing second fiddle to the off-the-field sideshow, which is really disappointing because, end of the day, we're all Widnes fans, we're all rugby league fans, and that's the stuff you want to be talking about. You want to be talking about the financials, you know, the kind of poor running and administration of the club. You want to be talking about Widnes getting back up to Super League, which is where they belong, and give Kieran the tools to build a good team. You know, I feel for Kieran at the moment because he's gone from Lee, and it's like the case of out of the frying pan and into the fire at Widnes. And Widnes is a far more stable club than Lee, I'll say that, but he'll be thinking, you know, am I going to go around again? I'm sure he isn't, by the way, but you know, it's got to be a concern for him. You know, that, you know, he just wants to focus on the rugby league, but yeah. I'm sure at the back of his mind he's thinking,
what's going
to
go on?
Who's going to come on? Is that person going to fancy me? Is he going to give me a break? Am I going to be out within 3 months if I don't get the right results? You know, it's all that type of stuff, which unfortunately does happen. You know, it happens more in football than rugby league, but there'll be a trigger point somewhere.
And then the other point to all this is that we still think that Widnes need 3, 4, 5 players. And it's like, is that now going to become, you know, is that something that's going to happen now? Because, you know, ultimately it's going to be left to, you know, with all the other stuff going on, is that's going to go down the list of priorities maybe? And, you know, I suppose you could say, well, why would they risk money or whatever on signing more players if they're going to sell the club?
And this is why, you know, this needs to be sorted out sooner rather than later. If Steve's going to leave, if someone's going to come in and give him the £300,000 to say bye, and that the whole directorship, and I'm led to believe, goes. So that's your Munsons, your Brian O'Connors, Robbie Snedden, I believe. That's, we can only say those names because they're the people on the board. So if Luke Backhouse or another person comes in and says there's £300,000, I take it those individuals will actually leave the club and Luke will bring his own people in, or whoever it may be.
Yeah.
But that all needs to happen soon, so we can get on with the rugby league and the bit which why we're sat around this table.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't sound like something that's going to happen in 2 months, unfortunately, which then, you know, you've got to think, well, how can they? I suppose we're just going to have to sit tight and see.
Absolutely, and you do have to be careful what you wish for. You know, we have seen in rugby league, you know, at certain clubs, both sides of the Pennines, where clubs have had their hands kind of burnt because that person wasn't the right individual. And I'm not saying that about anyone interested in Widnes, particularly Luke, because he's a really credible businessman. However, it has gone before.
Yeah, I think I'm certainly on the fence with, you know, whether it needs someone to come in. Does it need someone to come in and throw loads of money at it, or does it just need someone to... I don't think necessarily that Steve O'Connor was a million miles away from what he needed to be doing. They've just completely... I think it's more the relationships with fans and sponsors that, if they'd have been managed better, the club would probably be in a far better position than it is now. And so that's where, you know, I agree. You know, you look at Derek Beaumont, you look at Kukesti, they chuck loads of money at players and they've not got anywhere. And it's like, well, there's no point in us doing that as well.
Yeah.
But obviously, the way that things are being run at the moment clearly isn't.
We've gone backwards. You know, we have gone backwards. You know, both on the field and off the field. But you know, look at those first 2 or 3 years when Steve was there. You know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, he came with his money and he's pumped, you know, millions into the club. Which is credit to him. He saved the club from obscurity. You know, the club's on its knees. So we've got to say that for the record.
Well, and also worth remembering the investment that he put in. You know, rejected it in 2008 for the licence, but he could have walked away. But he stayed. They invested in the academy, and I know we touched on this last week. They invested in the academy for 3 years in the championship, or 4 years in total in the championship. Yeah. And it's like now they're sort of reaping the rewards, or trying to reap the rewards of that.
Yeah, and you know, good things do come to an end, unfortunately, and you know, it is now the right time to kind of hand over the reins to somebody else with a little bit more energy. You know, I think it's common knowledge Steve's in Australia or wants to be based in Australia now. You can't run a rugby league club from down under in Sydney, or when the hard yards and the rolling up of the sleeves need to be done with Widnes, particularly in this situation at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you might have seen I did a piece with Michael Carter, the Wakefield chairman, earlier this week, and he's a good example, I suppose, of the sort of person that a small I mean, I know Wakefield's a city, but you know what I mean? Yeah, like yeah, a small town club needs, you know, even the picture of him is him shoveling the snow off the pitch, you know, when Witness played there. And
his hands on him.
You know, and it's like, I think, is that the problem? There's not enough money to have a board who then employ, you know, a big executive. They almost need to sort of merge that somehow into something better. Ian, thanks for coming in again.
No problem.
Hopefully you won't be here. Well, yeah. I say hopefully you're not going to be here next week because you're on your jollies, but hopefully there won't be as many dramas next week and you won't be back. But yeah, thanks for watching. Let us know what you think. Hopefully we may see some movement and some news over the coming days, certainly on the player front, but we'll see. I have approached the club about maybe speaking to James Rule and Steve O'Connor, but unfortunately not at this time was the response. So I'll sort of keep, you know, obviously I'm always open to sitting down with anyone. So hopefully at some point in the future we'll get someone of that ilk onto the show to maybe give a bit more of the transparency perhaps, or answer some of the questions that maybe have gone rumbled on a bit too much in terms of, you know, a bit like Chinese whispers in some respects. So keep an eye out for that. Please do share, like, subscribe, comment to the channel, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for watching.